We could even go as far as saying, you know what? We long for the day when we can be together again without social distancing, without face masks. There's a day that we're longing for when we're together again, singing at the top of our lungs, or meek, I'm a really bad singer, at the bottom of my lungs. But we're separated. And it's not because we have a distrust of the government, but rather we want to reconnect with that deep sense of connection. We want to recapture it. We want that deeper sense of fellowship. And Paul says that Satan blocked his way. But there's another way we can look at this. That word actually can mean thwarted or hindered. It could mean prevented. Actually, for me, as I was reading this and as I was reading through commentaries, I saw that this idea of hindered is probably actually a better translation. See, the idea of hindered here is sort of a military term. It would see a group of soldiers go down the road towards the enemy, and they would dig slits and gaps into the paved road, and they would hide these gaps. And when the enemy army came through that area, their carts would break down as they hit these big ruts. Their horses would stumble. These invading armies would be stopped in their tracks as their carts and supplies stopped. It would take a long time. You know, like today we get to jack it up and, you know, we've got the spare in the back. No, for them, these wooden wheels, man, you just didn't go down to Jack's tire repair. Or should it be Jackius, because it's like... No, repairing these wheels, it hindered the progress. It took time. And as such, these roads became blocked. Look, there's no doubt that there is something going on here in the spiritual realm. One commentator talked about how it was the work of the enemy against Paul and the church in the Thessalonians. It was hindering Paul from letting them know that he really wanted to be there, that his heart was for them. And yes, the devil is still at work trying to hinder the church. But this accuser, this attack is not open and directed at the church. But rather, I want to put to you that today's hindrance is the easy out. Do you know what I mean when I say the easy out? At the moment, we have some limitations. We can only have a certain amount of people per square meter. 46. 46 people were allowed in here. But yet we don't come close to those numbers because people take the easy out. Oh, well, if there's a limit, oh, I won't go. Or maybe we go, oh, I'll take the easy out because there'll be nothing worse than getting to church and being told, sorry, it's full. And look, I'll have to skip, you know. And after all, I spent all morning getting the kids ready and, you know, they were all hyped up and now I have to take them home. We might take the easy out and saying, well, I have to wear a mask. Man, if I have to wear a mask, I'm not going to church. If I can't sing, I'm not going. If I'm tired because I was up too late last night, I'm not going. Oh, my kids have sport. I'm not going. The point is this, it's simple. We hinder ourselves with the easy out. Paul was hindered from visiting this church that he cared for and that he loved. And we too can be hindered today from coming. And Satan, the devil, is using that as leverage. He's using that to create an opportunity to make the church feel unsettled. Let me ask you a question. Are you feeling unsettled right now? Thessalonians is teaching us the answer to that unsettledness is to be strong, to be ready, and to anchor ourselves in Christ. See, Paul left this place, and how did he say it? Oh, he feels like an orphan, blocked from being with his family. And that's how it is for us too. Except the problem is we're not blocked from seeing our family, but rather we cut ourselves off from our family. We cut each other out. We get to the point of taking the easy road, and it becomes so easy, and it becomes so often that we don't really realize what's happened. One writer said this: we allow the evil one to use anything, any foothold, any oversight, any situation, any negativity, any misspoken word, as an excuse to take the outs. Now, look, I'm being realistic here. I'm not expecting us to be at church every single week. I know that life happens. But I also know this: when you're not here, you are missed. When you choose the easy option to skip rather than commit, we have people who feel disheartened by it. When we say, oh no, I'd rather be not there this week, we can dishearten each other. We talked about Paul being worried for the Thessalonians, that it seems like Paul had cut and run. When we choose that easy option, when we skip church, it could feel the same way to the people who left. Who are left, not who left. There's a difference there. Man, what a relief Paul must have felt when Timothy comes back at the beginning of chapter 3. See, Paul was cut off, but he wanted to be there. His fears and worries that the church had fallen, that their labor had been in vain, all disappear. His worries were unfounded. Imagine Paul's delight when Timothy shares that all they have about him is pleasant memories. And not only that, the church too longs for the day when he's able to come back. Imagine the encouragement that the labor was not in vain. And this church was committed to each other. It was committed to Paul. Imagine that, Paul, knowing that the church cares for him as much as he cares for the church. Man, Paul is so thankful. And we know that this isn't always the case for Paul. There are times when he sends Timothy to check up and it's not so good. You can read about one of these times in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here, the people hadn't developed a heart for each other. They didn't have a heart for Paul. They weren't imitating Paul or Christ. And they needed to be reminded, hey, you need to stop being arrogant and self-centered because the church is hindering itself. Paul must have felt like the gospel work was in vain because some of the Corinthians were not living a transformed life. So Paul sends this letter, the church deals with it, and you know what happens? They become stronger. For the church in Thessalonica and the church in Corinth, a church that commits to itself, commits to each other, becomes sanctified in Christ. A church that focuses itself on Christ, on centering itself on Christ, becomes a special place. When we as a people commit to each other, the culture of a church changes. It changes, I believe, to be more Christ-like. When the Corinthians do these things, when it says, no, let's lose the self-centered, let's lose the arrogance, let's focus on one another, Paul is able to write in 2 Corinthians 1, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set a seal of ownership over us and put his spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. In other words, just as he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. We are able to stand firm. I've been loving these opening chapters of Thessalonians, especially at a time like this. See, my friends, we are living in a time, a small period of time in the grand story of God, where we must make a choice. We can listen to the discouraging voices. We can take the easy option. Or we can continue to push in to Jesus. We can continue to build each other up. Or we have an option. We can run and hide. If Paul was to write a letter to us, what would it say? Would it be an encouragement, or would it be, what are you choosing? Because that's the question. During this time, during COVID, during hardships, what are we going to choose? What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose each other, or are you going to choose to run? Let's pray. Father, at times it is easy to take the easy option. That's why they call it the easy option. But Father, we just want you. So Father, we pray that you would help us to commit to one another, to build each other up, to build others up. Father, we pray that you might develop within us that spirit that was in Thessalonians, that the churches will look around and say, there is something different about that place. There is something godly happening there. Not because we want to be celebrated, Lord, because we want to point it to you, the one who called us to be together, the one who calls us to Christ, to you. So, Father, we pray and hand it over to you once again. Help us be the church in this place. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So we're going to... Oh, thanks for joining us. Have a good week.